Moving closer and closer to 300 lifetime episodes of this podcast. Thanks for being with me. I am Todd Wright, and this is the Todd Wright Toddcast. I'm going to look ahead to the Final Four this weekend. It's one of the more interesting NCAA tournaments in a while, just in my opinion, and I'm really looking forward to the games on Saturday. And Monday, we'll share with you my thoughts. Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. If you were an adult male that by law was ordered to pay permanent alimony prior to July 1st of 2023, you might want to reach out to Brandon Legal Group as soon as possible because permanent alimony is no longer the law in the state of Florida effective July 1st, 2023. Your financial obligation going forward can be reduced or perhaps outright eliminated with Brandon Legal Group's help. For a free consultation, visit brandonlegalgroup.com or you can call for the free consult at 813-902-3576. brandonlegalgroup.com. Stop paying permanent alimony. Pin Chasers. Hey, I was just there picking up some prizes for Todd Wright Tour 46, the Todd Wright Tour Championship for 2024. Thank you to Anthony and Robin Peroni for the prizes that I will be giving away at this weekend's golf tournament and for the continued support on these podcasts for what they did for the Down Syndrome Association of Tampa Bay, along with Drew Garabo and John Senning and Mike Olivero and Corey Cardinal and all the people involved with 102.5 The Bone that hosted Down to Bowl. I was there myself, throwing money into the raffle, winning some items that I gave to friends or am giving away at my golf tournament to friends this weekend. Pin Chasers has four locations, now four, in the greater Tampa Bay area, including the newest location in Brandon. I was at the Midtown location today that hosted Down to Bowl early last month for bowling, food, and fun, and tons of specials. Visit pinchasers.net. You can also inquire about lane reservations and party reservations via pinchasers.net. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com unless you want to talk golf with me, specifically my golf tournaments. I will host one more golf tournament for our golf season before taking the summer break. We take a summer break annually just because of the weather situation, from a logistical standpoint, a comfort standpoint, a lot of reasons, and then we'll ramp back up again in early October with another Todd Wright Tour event. But the Todd Wright Tour 46 will be going on sale soon. It is at Lake Geveda for the second straight year. And if you would like to be on my mailing list for it, you can email me at toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Anything not related to my golf tournaments, please send an email to right.todd@yahoo.com. Speaking of my golf tournaments, speaking of this weekend, nice of Greg with the hat, a very loyal podcast listener, to post multiple outfits on his social media and ask for opinions on what he should wear at my tournament. I voted the traditional green and khaki look, but the azaleas would be welcome. So, Greg, nice job on social media. And thanks again to your better half for helping us out at our last tournament by coming out and spending the day with us. Greg's team was actually one of our three winners at Good versus Evil back to February at Heritage Isles. Okay, on to the Final Four. There's been a lot about this tournament that I have found more interesting than any tournament in a while. Just my opinion. I've been more into it. I've been to all or parts of 10 Final Fours, regional finals. As a matter of fact, was it the last time Duke beat a higher-seeded team in a regional semi-regional final? I was at the game. It was at the Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville, Tennessee, going back to the Grant Hill days against Glenn Robinson. That was like, was Grant still there? I'm thinking 94-ish. Yeah, 94, Duke over Purdue. The other teams there were Kansas and Marquette. It was basically a Final Four field in one regional. had a hell of a time in Knoxville, got thrown out of N.O. Charlie's for no particular reason. No, I wasn't drunk, hadn't had one drink. Actually, no, I wasn't thrown out. I left N.O. Charlie's in Knoxville simply because they wouldn't wait on me. I was doing nothing to justify that treatment. I was simply being ignored, and I was with a group, and after we waited and waited and waited, we simply left and went somewhere else that promptly greeted us and waited on us. So that was the only negative of the visit, one of two visits I've made to Knoxville, Tennessee. The other was to see the Canes beat the Vols in football back in the Jason Witten days when he wore number one and was basically then to Tennessee what Brock Bowers had been to Georgia the last couple of years. All right, on to the Final Four. I'll just advance to where we are now and look ahead to the games, because by the time we get to tip-off, it looks like both games will involve significant favorites. You can already say that, but double-digit favorites. By the time we get to Saturday night, Purdue may be a double-digit favorite over NC State. Connecticut is a double-digit favorite over Alabama. And let me just start with Connecticut for this reason. Connecticut is trying to become the first, what, since Florida, those Gator teams of the 2000s that brought everybody back under Billy Donovan, won back-to-back national titles. That actually was the last Final Four I went to. Best seats I've ever had, ticketed seats at a Final Four in Atlanta at the old Georgia Dome. Was sitting three rows off the baseline, just to the side of the basket, for Florida's terrific returning five, beating Ohio State, which was Mike Conley Jr. Greg Oden was outstanding in that game. For those that look back and say, boy, you know, Portland blew it, they could have had Durant, and they went with Greg Oden, all you had to do was watch that game and see why Oden was so coveted as an NBA player. It didn't work out for many reasons, but Oden in that particular game against Florida was arguably the best player on the floor, and that was with Mike Conley Jr. on the floor. Ohio State had a gunner from outside who was very good at shooting threes, but Florida had five star players with national title experience returning. Yeah, it was a great game. It was a great day, especially for the Florida Gators. And Ohio State hasn't reached those heights since. So Connecticut's trying to do back-to-back. Connecticut is worthy of all the accolades they have received. In the KenPom rankings, for those that follow college basketball, they are number one in adjusted offense. They are number four in adjusted defense. Number one overall, a record of 35-3. They've gone 10-0 in the last two NCAA tournaments, and they've been dominant. I think someone in this Final Four can and will give them a game. And that's where I question whether this group is ready to be pushed in the final minutes down the stretch when the pressure is really on. Because for the high expectations, the trash talking of the fan base, for being the returning champions, for having four possible choices as the tournament's most outstanding player. They've got four of either the top five or the top six, according to the books. In their 10 NCAA tournament games the last 2 years, they haven't been pushed at all. No single-digit wins. They have won every game by double digits. The closest result was the national semis last year in Houston against my alma mater, Miami. They won by 13, and I'll argue the game wasn't that close. I've always said about the NCAA tournament that the team that survives the scare is a dangerous team. The team that has to fight past the last TV timeout final few minutes of the game, when every possession matters, every loose ball matters, the coaches get more involved using timeouts, foul shots become tougher to make, points are at a premium. UConn hasn't faced that in two tournaments. They're 10-0, and they've been so damn good, they haven't had to deal with a scare. I say someone scares them this weekend. And because of that, let me step back. So I think they're going to face, in one game, or if they win Saturday, both games on Monday, they're going to face a scare. They could face two. They could be better for the scare if they get it and survive on Saturday. I think that would make them tougher to beat on Monday, because all three of these teams left, other than UConn, are all very, very worthy. With apologies to FAU, Miami, and San Diego State, these teams are above that. Yes, I think NC State is even above that with the run they're on and the star player they have in the middle, and it's not just him. Alabama is the semifinal opponent, and then either Purdue or NC State would be the Monday opponent. Alabama is number three in KenPom adjusted offensive numbers. Number three. So based on that, it's not like Connecticut's offensive advantage is that distinct against Alabama as it would be against other opponents. Now, the funny part about all this is, in the KenPom rankings, guess who's four offensively? Illinois, and Connecticut went on a 30-0 run. Again, Connecticut's had a charmed life. They've earned it. But I still believe someone scares them. And I want to see them handle it before I pick them to win the scare. And I think Alabama, based on their quality of offense, Sears, Nelson, and they have more, that they are a quality opponent and can put Connecticut potentially in that situation, fighting for a win late in an NCAA tournament game that Connecticut hasn't faced, going 10-0 the last two tournaments. And if Connecticut gets by Alabama and doesn't face the scare there, I think they get it from Purdue or NC State. Purdue is number two in KenPom adjusted offensive efficiency. Number two. So, again, Connecticut won. They're playing Alabama in the semi. I know they played Illinois basically in the quarters, the regional final. Illinois was four. Alabama three, Purdue two. Again, my theory, someone here on this road is going to get them into a tight game late. These guys haven't had to play in that in a one-and-done NCAA situation in 2 years. The coaches haven't had to coach that. I want to see it to believe it. You know, much like 30 years ago when Vegas coasted to this point, undefeated. Connecticut not undefeated, lost three times. And then what happened to Vegas in the national semis? Got in a tight game. Some things didn't look right. Some decisions on shots and how to handle things mentally. It's different. And I wonder how Connecticut will handle it. So I think Alabama could give them that type of game. And if not, Purdue or NC State can give them that kind of game. NC State's been wonderful to watch for the past 3 weeks, winning their last nine, as Alabama has Sears or Nelson, as Purdue has Edie, and they have more than just Edie. NC State has Burns, and they have more than Burns. They have Muhammad, the guard who hit the shot against Virginia that sent the game to overtime that kept them alive in the ACC tournament. You got to have a go-to player or two this time of year that wants the ball and wants to score, because in the NCAA tournament, in one and done, there are a majority of guys who don't want to take that shot. They don't. We saw it a little bit with Purdue in the regional final against Tennessee. In the end, it was a lot of Edie, right? He had 40-41. It looked like other guys were like, well, just get the ball to Edie. Little too reliant there. That's a big number for Edie. You'd rather have it be, you know what, mid to high 20s in terms of your scoring. But that's what happens. It's tangible. You can watch it. I've been watching the NCAA tournament for a long time, live and on television. Some players, to quote a football movie, The Replacements, Gene Hackman says to Keanu Reeves a few times in the movie, what's it going to be, Shane? And in the end, Shane says, I want the ball. And Gene Hackman says, winners always do. You got guys on Connecticut that want the ball, but we haven't seen them scared. We haven't seen them pushed late in games. Let's see how they handle it, because I think these three teams, with how they're comprised, with how they've played, with the offensive numbers of Purdue and Alabama, NC State numbers, they're an aberration. NC State's just got it going on. They just believe. They are what you watch the NCAA tournament for. The funny part is, before this tournament, Matt Painter was getting crap about how Purdue would always lose to a 12, a 13, a 14, a 15, or if he loses the national semis, he's lost to an 11. But he's lost it at the Final Four. But the players really have rallied and have said, you know, we want to win this for and with pain in getting behind their coach. Lot to like about this Final Four. I was asked on TV on Spectrum News Sunday night, for those of you that watched the 10:30 show in Tampa or Orlando or anywhere in Central Florida, would I take Connecticut or the field? Straight up, it's hard to go against Connecticut, but I think they're going to get a scare, and I'm not sure they survive the scare. And I believe these other three teams have the offense or have the confidence and have the players that want the ball that can give Connecticut a game. And Connecticut hasn't proven in the last two tournaments, even in going 10-0, that they can win a close game in the tournament, not this group. They need to prove it to me. And if they do, very worthy two-time national champion, but no game decided by less than 13 in their 10 wins in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. All right, enough for me on the Final Four. What do you think? Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks for listening. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group and Pin Chasers. We'll talk to you again soon.